This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good morning, horse people. This is Coach Jen from Ocala, Florida, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for June 4th, 2015, episode 1183.
Good morning!
It's Thursday.
Let's kick the tires and light the fires, Big Daddy.
Your presence is required on the command deck.
Well, greetings, horse folks. Welcome to Classic Thursday on Horses in the Morning. In honor of tomorrow's 147th running of the Belmont Stakes, let's tuck in our earbuds and enjoy a superfecta of horse racing guests from past episodes. Breaking from the rail, Patty Reeves' first visit to the show from way back in 2011, before Mucho Macho Man became a multi-million-dollar champion. And in the number two hole, we're going to have a chat with Mucho Macho Man's trainer, Kathy Ritvo, from 2013. And in gate three, the indomitable spirit that is Penny Chenery, with an assist from her son, John Tweedy. And on the outside, the unstoppable duo of Graham Motion and Philip Dutton. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
And we're working on getting our next guest on the line right now. But Glenn, you there?
Yes. Yeah. Yep, I'm here.
All right. Oh, yeah, my computer froze. Awesome timing.
No, I'm definitely...
Yay! I'm super excited to talk to her this morning, because one of the Derby contenders for this year is a horse that Jennifer and I have been following. His name is Mucho Macho Man, and he just came off in February a win in the Risen Star Stakes, and he won that one, and it's perfect because he is pointed to the Derby. And you guys, since you know how the pre-race stuff and the Derby on NBC is all like these great stories and amazing, you know, pieces on how these horses got there. Well, in such a short time, this horse's story has just gotten bigger and better. And also, you know, because of us too. So are the numbers of fans on his Facebook page. I am a friend of his online, much like I am a friend of his Zenyatta's. And we're going to talk to Patty Reeves right now, the owner of Macho. Good morning, Patty.
Hi, good morning.
Well, it is a pleasure to talk to you. You guys have a huge weekend coming up. Macho, of course, is running in the $1 million Louisiana Derby. So how are you guys getting ready for that?
Oh, gosh, we're so excited. Well, we got here in New Orleans yesterday. And we visited him at the barn when he arrived, and he arrived safely. He's a little bit jet-lagged, but he's feeling fine. He gave me lots of kisses, and we're just getting ready for Saturday.
Was that you getting the kisses on the Facebook page?
That be me, yes.
Oh, my God, that was so cute.
Thanks.
Is he really that friendly? Is he super friendly?
You know, he has not been, and I see it as a sign that he is maturing. You know, he's a late foal, and every time I see him, either he's getting to know me better or he's just growing up a little bit, and he's not as feisty as he was, although he still is somewhat feisty, so you have to be careful around people he doesn't know.
Right. Well, if you saw the movie Secretariat, you'll realize that, like, in that movie, it was very Disney because they're loving on and smooching on him. And Secretariat, you know, is a three-year-old stud colt. And now you know the experience of being around these racehorses at that time. You don't want to put your face very close
no.
to their face at all, except for snapping that quick photo that you did.
Exactly. Yeah. Yesterday, he snapped at my father-in-law and got him pretty good
oh,
on the
no.
hand. So we're careful.
Oh, no. Well, let's back up a little bit, because I want to know, how and when did you guys get Macho?
We got Macho. My husband, Dean, and I purchased him last year. And it was after Dean had watched a race that our trainer asked us to look at to buy another horse, who's a fabulous horse called Gourmet Dinner. And Dean was looking to buy Gourmet Dinner. And when he watched the race, he said to our trainer, Tim Ritvo at the time, said, "Tim, call me crazy, but I like the horse that came in second place, which was Macho Macho Man." So Tim mm-hmm. went back and looked at the tapes and said, "You know, you may have something here." So that's how we got Macho Macho Man. And, you know, either way, we couldn't have gone wrong because Gourmet Dinner is a fabulous horse, too.
Well, so is your husband a horse person? Has he always been a horse person, or did he just kind of get lucky in seeing Macho Macho Man?
Well, a little of both. We're not really horse people. We've never had horses until about 3 years ago. It was always a dream of Dean's to have some horses, but he didn't know much about the business. And about 3 years ago, we met another couple while we were on vacation in the Turks and Caicos Islands. And yeah, the woman and I sort of hit it off working out at the gym on the treadmill together. And that evening we ran into them at a restaurant and invited them to sit with us and have a drink over dinner. And the husband brought up horses, and turns out they had some race horses, and he had been in the winner's circle 57 times.
Oh, my gosh.
And, yeah. And they had had a horse named Technology who had won the Florida Derby years ago and had been in the Kentucky Derby. And so next thing you know, the two men were plotting to maybe buy their first horse together. And it was sort of the mentor that Dean needed, you know, someone, because you can't just walk up and say, "Oh, I want to buy a horse." You got to know the people, the trainers, and the, you know, where to go and this and that. So Bob and Esther became our fast friends, and they sort of guided us into this and took Dean to the auction, and Bob and Dean bought their first horse together, and that's how it began.
Okay, time out. So you guys have been doing this for 3 years, and your friend has been in the winner's circle 57 times. Has he ever been close to going to the Derby?
Yes. Bob and Esther had a horse. Yep, he had a horse named Technology, and they took him to the Derby. I don't know what the year was, but that was a real successful horse. He didn't win, but he was in the Derby.
Yeah, it's amazing just to actually get there and the qualifications that you have to go through to get your horse to even there. But that's incredible. You're on a treadmill, you meet some girl, you guys start drinking together, and then your husbands are conspiring to buy horses, and boom, 3 years later, you got a horse that's pointed to the Kentucky Derby. What an awesome story. I love that. That's great.
Thanks.
Well, I know just on the business end a little bit, you guys had a little bit of a stress going into the last race, the Risen Star, because your jockey, Ivar Koa, was injured right before, like the day before the race. And you guys had to get a new rider in less than 24 hours. What was the stress like, and how confident were you in your new jockey, Rajiv Mirage?
Well, we've always been confident in Rajiv. We knew him from Saratoga last year, and he had actually ridden the horse once. But when it was Friday night, the night before the Risen Star, and we were here in New Orleans, and we learned about Ivar Koa, and what was even more ironic, in that accident that happened at Gulfstream, there were two jockeys involved. The other one was Paco Lopez, I think, and both of those jockeys were going to be riding our horses the next day. Like, what are the chances of that?
Right.
And the other jockey was not so seriously injured. I think he chipped his elbow. But Ivar, you know, it was very, very serious. And so, of course, our first concern was for him, and is he going to be okay? And then we realized we're stuck out here, and we don't have another jockey. And as luck would have it, I mean, we were just blessed. Rajiv Mirage was coming out to New Orleans anyway to ride another horse that day. And we were able to make contact with him, and he said he would be honored to ride Macho, and the rest was history. He won. It was just great.
That's incredible. These guys are just amazing. To hop on a horse every so often and then take it in a race. And then, I mean, you know, just riding horses, it's scary enough to just gallop one. These guys just full speed ahead, never ridden a horse before. Sure, I'm going to go win this race. It's incredible. But I have to talk to you. I know we're running short on time, but you have to tell us a little bit about Kathy, your trainer, and the amazing, amazing story associated with her.
Oh, yeah. Kathy is awesome. Kathy is, I think she's 41 years old. She's a mom. She's got two children, a boy and a girl, 16 and 17. And 2 years ago, she was on her deathbed. She watched the Kentucky Derby from her hospital room with her cardiologist. She had a deteriorating heart condition that her dad passed away of, her brother also had, and they didn't think she was going to make it. And fortunately for her, she was able to get a heart transplant, and it was successful. And it has now been 2 years, and bless her heart, she is out there every morning at 5 o'clock in the morning and works as hard as anybody in this business does. It's just amazing. She has a true love for it, and she has such a strong spirit. She's a hard worker. She loves what she does. And as she says, every day to her is just a gift of life.
Okay. So it makes me emotional even listening to it, because here's this woman who has lost family members to this disease. And she's sitting there waiting, you know, basically waiting on a heart transplant. And she's watching the racehorses. She gets it. She comes back. And I'm sorry, but this is not a sport for the faint of heart. Typically, racehorses, it's just incredible. And she's doing great, and she's strong and healthy and happy.
She is. She has to take 31 pills a day, and she has to be very careful, especially, you know, around the barn with all the dust and everything. But she does it.
Oh my gosh, that's just incredible! So, you've got obviously a big weekend for all of you. Now, this is just girl to girl. If you guys go to the Derby, do you have your outfit picked out already? Do you know what you're going to wear?
Oh, the funny thing about that, I have been to the Derby only once in my life, so this is a huge big deal for me. And I have several outfits that I've bought, but I'm not sure if any of them work yet, because I couldn't decide what comes first, the hat or the outfit. And so as a result, I have three different dresses and four different hats, but none of them match each other.
I see more shopping in your future.
Oh, yeah, you got to.
You know what? Wait till after this weekend. When he wins this weekend, you'll be able to do all the shopping you want. You'll be fine.
Hey, man,
it'll be good.
So,
we got it. First of all, I think that the outfit has to be designed around the shoes, typically. However, when you're at the Derby, you're going to be on your feet a lot, and you're going to be, like, running down to the winner's circle, hopefully, knock on wood. So you want to have something fashionable and functional at the same time. Obviously, the hat has to be just gorgeous, because your photograph is going to be plastered over everything. You're going to be on camera the entire time. So you got to think fashionable yet functional. That's where I would go.
I think she's just trying to make you nervous here.
I'm totally nervous about it, because I already have this really cute pair of white spectator pumps that go with one of the dresses perfectly. And then when Dean told me about the part that we get to walk on the track from the barn to the paddock, I was in tears, because I thought, no, my shoes. But I've figured out, okay, I'm going to have to bring a change of shoes and something I can wear on the track and then slip back into my heels when I get back to watch the race or something. I'll have to figure it out.
Now, here's what I do, you know, and I did in my single days after a long night of partying out at the clubs or something. And, you know, you've got to have your big slouch purse, and inside your purse, you put your comfy shoes. Like, you slide your flip-flops on inside the big purse. So when your feet hurt and you got to walk to your car at 2 in the morning, you just change shoes. So it's a brilliant idea, and you could totally transfer that into the Derby. Just have a big old purse and have your pumps in them, and then you can flip-flop. I love it.
I tell you, you mentioned Zenyatta. It would be great to talk to people. Like, I even thought about trying to reach out to Ann Moss, because she's one of the people I really look up to. and find out, you know, someone should help us new people, you know, pass it on down. And I would be happy to do that in subsequent years to other people.
I that's a great idea. Yeah, you don't listen to my advice. I'm no fashion goddess. Okay, so you probably should talk to Ms. Moss. She's been through this a couple different times, I'm sure. So that would be that'd probably be a better call. Don't listen to me.
Well, just the what to expect that day. I mean, I'm overwhelmed just with the thought of all the preparations and what's going to go on that day. And I guess I'll just roll with the punches and go with it. So we're really looking forward to it.
Well, just good luck, you know, on the road to the Derby, but also good luck this weekend. I know this is a huge race, and if anybody, you know, try to find it on TV, the Louisiana Derby, Mucho Macho Man is the horse. I think he's officially my Derby favorite because I'm just rooting for you guys immensely, and just wish you the best of luck. And thank you so much for coming on and being on our show.
Cooped up, feeling all caged in. Need to get a little air so I can breathe again. Got a thirst in my heart, hunger in my eyes. Need to satisfy my soul, free my wild side. My wheels have been spinning like crazy in my head. Gotta get back to living before I forget. My sights are set where that green grass is. A good running start to get me over that fence. Yeah, 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 yeah. 'Cause I need somewhere to run, somewhere to ride. Fresh pair of wings and a long stretch of sky. I've saddled these dreams, I'm holding on tight. Need a good, strong, tall wind and a horse that can fly. Yeah. Got a load on my back and a lot on my mind. Yeah, the weight of this world really gets me sometimes. There's a freedom inside me I've been missing so much. Gonna kick the gates wide open and leave a big old cloud of dust. Yeah, 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 yeah. 'Cause I need somewhere to run, somewhere to ride. A fresh pair of wings and a long stretch of sky. I've saddled these dreams, I'm holding on tight. Need a good, strong, tall wind and a horse that can fly, yeah. Giddy up, look at what lies on the horizon. Second star to the left, then straight on till morning. Somewhere to run, somewhere to ride. A fresh pair of wings and a long stretch of sky. I've saddled these dreams, holding on tight. Need a good, strong, tall wind and a horse that can fly. Yeah, I need a horse that can fly. Yeah, I need
know if that was a good introduction or not, but she is one of the classier people on the racetrack, and her name is Kathy Ritvo, and she is the trainer for Mucho Macho Man. Good morning, Kathy.
Hi, good morning.
Are you experienced with handicappers? Do you take the approach that I do, where they're normal people or they're you know, bad 70s movie characters like Glenda?
the second.
Thank you, Kathy.
Well, even then, because she's been around him probably a little bit more than either one of us. First, how is Mucho Macho Man doing?
He's doing great. He's doing great. Back in schedule, and he's doing great, galloping great, and he had good work the other day, and he's feeling good.
Well, I know he was pulled up at the Sunshine Millions in January to potential in what turned out to be a respiratory issue. What happened then, and what kind of setback is that for him, and how'd you fix it?
He actually was pulled up from the Sunshine Moon because he lost his grip and on the racetrack. And then when we came back, he started with a small respiratory issue, and then we cleared that up and decided to start all over again, you know, give him a little time and just start new again, hopefully to have a great rest of the year. So he was on some medication for his, just to clean up some mucus that he had, and he's pretty much been medication-free, and he's doing great.
It was really cool, too, because I follow him on Facebook, and since he posts his own pictures all the time, he was doing some self-photos, self-portraits of him in pastures up at Fair Hill in the snow, and he just looked incredibly happy, and it must be nice to be able to see these guys be horses for a while.
It is. It's a great place to be. It gives us a lot of options, and the horses, they actually relax, and it's a great place to be. It's a great place for horses.
Now, he's back to work now. Can you believe that this horse has had, in a year of where it seems like every horse that was kind of in his age bracket in that Derby really didn't progress through the end of the year, or each had problems and each kind of fell out, he is still going so strong. What do you attribute that to?
Just patience. Mr. and Mrs. Reeves having so much patience and allowing the horse to run when he's ready. And the racing manager, Finn Green, also, you know, just making sure that we run the horse when he's ready. And I think that's the secret.
Well, and I would imagine you're not going to say it, but a pretty darn good trainer as well, probably listening to the horse.
And the horse, the horse is very talented, too. He's talented, and he's sound, and he's a big boy, and I think that if we just keep taking care of him, he's going to have a, just a good career.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, well, he's had such a great career.
Yes.
What do you see
yes.
for him in the future?
We're going to let him tell us when he's ready.
Oh, yeah, so just getting him back to work and...
Yeah.
Don't tell a man. Don't tell a man he's the boss ever.
I know. You're right. You are right.
Kathy, do you have any thoughts? We just talked to our handicapper about this year's Derby. Do you have any thoughts on this year's Derby?
I like Orb.
Boy, he's becoming out a favorite here this morning, isn't he?
Really?
Two for two.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so why do you like Orb?
I just like the horse. I love the way that he's developing, and I love the job that they're doing with him. And, I wish everybody luck, but I like the horse. I like the way he looks. I saw him when he ran at Gulfstream. He's just a nice horse.
Now, who's Orb trained by?
Shug.
Shug McGahee.
Oh, that's right. Okay. And he's ridden by Rosario, if I remember right, the jockey.
I believe so.
Yeah. Won the Florida Derby, too. Well, good. So we're going to have to take a closer look at Orb here, Jamie. It's not one. We've talked about him a little bit, but not a whole lot.
Yeah. Now, Kathy, I got to ask. So obviously you have a little bit of a cold. Is that because you left the beautiful, sunny state of Florida and you're now up in Fair Hill?
to come to this beautiful rain 53 today. Yeah. I think the weather changed. Ugh. It's chilly, but we've actually had some really nice days up here, so I guess we have to take a few of these.
Yeah. Now, how many horses are in your barn right now with you?
We have 12.
12. Gotcha. And you're planning on staying up there for the entire summer? Are you going to make some travel plans down to Louisville or Lexington? Or well, I guess not Lexington anymore. They're done. But into Louisville or anything?
I believe we'll go to Saratoga.
Saratoga. Good pick. Yeah. Good pick. Well, we are so excited to be able to talk to you and get caught up, and I'm so glad that Mucho Macho Man keeps going. I'm excited for when he does go to stud, because he's going to throw some beautiful babies, but keep him on the track as long as you can. I know he loves it, and he seems like he's very happy.
Yeah, he is. He's doing great.
Well, we do appreciate you coming on with us, and please give the Reeves our love. We absolutely adore them. How lucky you are to have such awesome owners.
I am very, very, very lucky.
Yeah, they're fantastic. Thank you. Well, thank you very much, and keep us updated. If you need anything, we'll be happy to send a big bushel of carrots or apples or whatever Mucho Macho Man wants.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Thank you, Kathy. Bye.
Coach Jen here, host of the Horse Tip Daily Show on the Horse Radio Network. The way consumers interact with the brands they have trusted for years and those they are about to fall in love with for the first time is becoming more and more mobile, literally, and will continue to do so for the foreseeable future. Podcasts or internet radio shows like this one combine the new consumer preference for on-demand information and entertainment with the power of niche market audiences. Advertising on the Horse Radio Network podcasts allows you to reach the equestrian consumer using today's preferred on-demand delivery system. It's cost-effective and flexible, able to reinforce your existing marketing and social media strategies. To learn more about advertising on this show or any of the shows on the Horse Radio Network, contact us at 859-951-2022 or you can email us at glenn@horseradionetwork.com. That's Glenn with two N's at horseradionetwork.com. Come and join the Horse Radio Network family. You'll enjoy the ride.
Well, you guys are listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network, brought to you today by KPP USA, Kentucky Performance Products. We are always thrilled to have them as a title sponsor on Fridays. And we're also very thrilled to have some incredibly special guests with us today. You know, I'm sitting here at my computer, and directly above my head is a signed by Ronnie Turcotte photo, huge photo of Secretariat winning the Belmont. And on my bookshelf next to me is Secretariat's Meadow by Kate Tweedy. And we've now currently, got John Tweedy and Mrs. Penny Chenery on the show to welcome you guys. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for joining us to talk about this Penny and Red documentary. You know, it is such an honor, because I'm such a fan of Mrs. Chenery and your horse and your life. You're such a classy woman and an empowering woman, and it's just an honor to have you on the show this morning.
I'm pleased to be here.
Well, can you just imagine that all of this would happen because of a horse?
Well, it certainly wasn't going to happen without him.
Yeah, well, obviously. John,
but
tell us about this.
A horse like Secretariat was so powerful in so many ways that it's not surprising that his legacy has lived on.
I can't agree with you anymore. And John, tell us about this documentary that you got to do about your mom and this horse.
Well, it's been a really fun, special experience for us as a family. We, of course, have enjoyed Secretariat's relationship with his fans for many years, and Mom has had the opportunity to meet with so many people who've been excited about him for a long time, and she's had the desire over time, and especially since the Disney movie came out several years ago, to tell the story from kind of a more personal angle. And so I've been making documentaries for a few years, and we decided to sit down and do a series of interviews. And of course, we have a wealth of family photos, and there were some archival film versions of the original races that had been in our family vault, and had, you know, the races themselves were recorded on videotape, and some of the publicly available videotape is, you know, it fades over the years, and we realized that some of the film prints of the key races that Mom had in her archives were actually better quality film prints of these events than are publicly available. And so we decided that, you know, it's really time to make Mom's personal recollections available to the public and to release some of that archival material. So it's just been a great experience for me to work with all of that, and we're really excited about how it's coming out. And the other thing that we're really fortunate to have is that Diane Lane has agreed to narrate the film, and so it sort of brings back some of the team that was involved in the Disney film, and so it's been great.
Ms. Chenery, how has it been working with Diane Lane?
Oh, I love her. We've become good friends, and even after the movie was shot and out, she would sometimes call me on a Saturday night. She'd be out of town and lonely, and we've developed a personal relationship that's been just a joy. She's a wonderful gal.
Well, in the pictures and photos and anything I've seen you guys together, you look like you're truly girlfriends, and it's nice to see. What was it like to see somebody who you've become friends with portray your life on the big screen like she did?
Well, during the film, I had a couple of times to visit the set, and so I saw her portrayal as it was being filmed, and so that shock, because it really is weird to see somebody playing you, had sort of dissolved, and then having a chance to visit her and talk on the phone, the fact that we've become friends is just a bonus. And
right.
She is so perceptive as an actress. She's picked up my mannerisms and the cadence of my voice, and although it's weird to see someone else, after a while, I think, that is me.
Wow, that must be just crazy to see. How have things changed for you guys as a family since the movie came out? I mean, obviously, you've been in the horse world for forever, but since the movie's come out, have things changed?
Within the family, or
with just, I guess what I want to know is, after seeing yourself in the movies, and now with it being kind of the 40th anniversary of Secretariat's Triple Crown win, how much more prominent is your life in the spotlight?
Well, fortunately, I live in Colorado, in Boulder. And they don't take me seriously. I don't live a public life anymore, and that's a good thing.
Well, and I would just add, I think that Mom has never been quite out of the spotlight, and so the sort of renewed focus has been kind of a nice bonus, because she's been able to meet with a new generation of fans who've been turned on to the movie. I think a new generation of horse crazy girls have seen that movie and learned about the story, and that's been a wonderful thing.
Well, I was so proud of you, Mr. Chinnery, when you pushed and pushed to have the Preakness time reviewed, and now Secretary to actually hold the record for the fastest Preakness. How was that? How incredible is that?
Well, we always knew that there was something wrong with the official time, and but it took a lot of hard work, and John was involved with my business partner, Leonard Lusky. And will you describe the mechanics of doing that, John?
Well, it was fascinating. You know, a videotape is actually a very precise timer because it's 30 frames per second. In fact, 29.97 frames per second. And so when you take the videotape and you match it exactly against the then official record, it was very clear that Secretariat beat the record. And so it was just a process of compiling that video evidence and giving the commissioners the technical confidence that, in fact, when you play out these frames of video, they add up to a very precise timing to within tenths of a second, and they could indeed say with certainty that he had beaten the record. So it was just putting the evidence in front of them. The people who were in the video industry back in 1974 already knew this. But I think that the racing industry at that time was not ready to accept what the science of video was already able to prove even back then. But now I think we're certainly there, and the Racing Commission recognized that.
God, that was fantastic. That was a great day. Before we talk about the Secretariat Festival, I have to just ask Mrs. Chinnery one question, one personal question. And come on. Did you ever get on Secretariat just for a second? Just throw your leg over him and ride him for a second.
No, I didn't. Although I'm an experienced rider, I was not in very good shape in those days, because it would have been such a tragedy if I did indulge my fantasy and gone out and he dropped his shoulder and dumped me, run off and gotten hurt. Now that would be a real tragedy. So,
gosh.
But also, well, he was a big, strong horse. And in my prime, I would have been challenged to stay on him.
Oh, but without a doubt.
And, you know, the movie portrays him as being playful but docile. Well, he wasn't. He was a big, strong stallion with ideas of his own. If you went to the webbing of his stall and he didn't care to have you there, he would nip. He'd say, "Get out of my face." And no, I had much too much respect for him and fear for my life.
I'm glad to hear you say that, because I used to gallop racehorses, and I never saw one as sweet as the horse in that movie.
No, absolutely.
And in the documentary, you'll probably see a slightly different Secretariat, because there's archival footage of him right after he was retired to stud, and you really do see how powerful and majestic he was, but also not a horse that you would hop on lightly.
No, I'm sure not. Well, I'm glad you didn't get yourself hurt, Ms. Chinnery, by hopping on him, and probably a good thing. The Secretariat Foundation is going to benefit from the Penny and Red premiere, which happens September 20th. It starts at 6 p.m. at the Sales Pavilion, and there's a VIP cocktail reception. You can meet Mrs. Chinnery. The Meadow Stable team is going to be there. Bill Nack is going to be there. There's going to be a reception. There's going to be the screening. It starts at 7:30. It's an incredible night, and it's so affordable with the screening, $40 a person. VIP tickets, either $95 or $150, includes a DVD signed by Mrs. Chinnery. You can go to secretariat.com to get the tickets and to find out more. There's a run walk at Adena Springs. There's going to be a Claiborne Farm tour. John, tell us a little bit about how this all came together and what people can do with their getting involved.
Well, the Secretariat Festival has been going on for a number of years. It's become a wonderful annual celebration of Secretariat's legacy and really horse racing in general. So if people are able to come to Paris for that weekend, it'll just be a fantastic time. There'll be a ton to do. The screening will occur that evening, and then folks will be around, and Mom will be available to meet and greet fans. And so it'll just be a great time.
It will be. And then Saturday, we're going to have two favorite things, horses and baseball, coming together, because there's going to be celebrities, Pete Rose, Johnny Bench, Joe Morgan, and Tony Perez, which were the big red machine in Cincinnati Reds history. They're going to be there signing autographs. You're going to meet jockeys such as Lafitte Pinquet, Pat Day, Chris McCarron. The list goes on and on. And this
and
is a
Ronnie Turcotte.
And Ronnie Turcotte. Can't forget him.
Of course not. Without a doubt. Of course he has to be there. And so this is definitely something. I mean, as a horse girl, this day would be a dream come true for me to be able to tour these farms and meet these amazing jockeys and amazing celebrities, and go visit where actually Secretariat stood at stud and is buried at Claiborne Farm. So you can find out more about that on secretariat.com. Anything else you want to add to that, John?
I know. We just hope folks come out and enjoy the show.
How can we get a copy of this movie?
That's why I was going to ask, what happens after? When do we see it?
Well, the movie is going to be made available through the secretariat.com website. We are still sort of working out the timing. We have the premiere screening, as you've mentioned, but how soon it comes out after that is a little bit still in the works, but it will be available for the Christmas season for fans through secretariat.com. I can say that.
Oh, good.
Yay.
Okay, Glenn, put that on my Christmas list.
Yeah, I have
list,
it on your
okay?
list already.
Here. But it's so fantastic to talk to you guys. Our time is unfortunately up. I think I could talk to you forever. Actually, we do a show here on the Horse Radio Network called Equestrian Legends. And Mrs. Chinnery, I hope someday you would consider to be part of that, because you embody an equestrian legend, and it would be an honor to have you on that show. We'll try to get in touch with your people and talk to them about that. But it's just been a total honor to have both you guys on the show. I cannot wait to see the movie. It is Penny and Red, The Life of Secretariat's Owners, Landlocked Films, directed by, of course, her son, John Tweedy, who has been kind enough to join us. You guys, I can't thank you enough for being on the show.
It's been a blast.
Certainly has.
All right. Thank you, guys.
An honor talking to you guys. Thank you very much.
My teachers tried to warn me, stay away from that powerful stuff. My dad said, son, if you get started, you won't ever be able to stop. Well, look at me now. I'm doing fine. I'm happy to admit, I don't believe that hype. You know I got a good life, but they say that I'm addicted. Addicted to driving down the road, riding Bronx and having fun. Addicted, well I'm really not. I could quit it anytime I want. Even if I was hooked on rodeo, at least I'm not addicted to liquor or drugs. Well, I could blow all my money and break all my bones, but I would never hurt anyone. I've always been the kind to be in control. I tell you that
fight in my defense. Cause the kind of Bronx I've been drawn lately's got me questioning my common sense. Addiction's a form of weakness. I know that to be true. You're gonna pay for a habit. I pray I don't have it. Just between me and you. Addicted to driving down the road, riding Bronx and having fun. Addicted, well I'm really not. I could quit it anytime I want. Even if I was hooked on rodeo, at least I'm not addicted to liquor or drugs. It's broken bones and bruises and self-induced abuses that have never hurt anyone. I've been thinking of slowing down to spend some more time at home. You don't have to be alone. I ran into M. Richie the other day. I asked him if he guessed the itch. I said, it's 20 years since you've been on a bull. I guess you finally got it licked. Then his eyes went wild and he started to shake. He said, it hits him every spring. I said, thanks, Seb, you're not helping me any. Now I got a Hakadam ring. Addicted to driving down the road, riding Bronx and having fun. Addicted, well I really thought that I could quit it anytime I want. Now I'm sitting here jonesing for a rodeo. Might as well be liquor or drugs. Well I could blow all my money and break all my bones, and I would never get enough. Well, I blew all my money, and that ain't fun, cause I just can't give it up.
Well, I am here with some very special guests, Glenn, and we have on the phone right now Olympian Philip Dutton and Kentucky Derby winning trainer Graham Motion. Good morning, guys.
Hi there. Good morning. How are we doing?
Well, we're doing fantastic. Thank you guys both so much for joining us. I don't think we've had this much star power on the line together ever. This whole thing might explode.
That seems unlikely.
Well, Philip, good morning. Where did we catch you on the back of a horse?
No, I'm sitting down, so you can ask me anything you want.
Oh, man, watch out. And then, Graham, are you at the track right now, or are you home?
I am, yeah. We're actually training right now.
Oh, fantastic. Well, you guys have formed a partnership of sorts, and I was hoping you could maybe tell everybody what it is. Graham, if you want to get started.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, it was really my wife's idea. It's something she's always wanted to do. We feel very strongly about taking care of the thoroughbreds after they're retired and finding other careers for them, and it's something that we've tried to do over the years, and it was, you know, we just had an opportunity with Ichabod Crane to actually do it ourselves, and we'd wanted to have a situation where we could send Philip a nice horse. We'd actually tried to send him a couple before, but he's usually sent them back pretty quickly. So we like Ichabod Crane a lot. We really thought this was one that he would like, and that we could all have some fun with. And it was nice that, you know, Earl Mack was generous enough to let Anita and I have him after his racing career was done. And so then it was up to Philip to see how he handled it.
So, Philip, he sends you this gelding, and what was your first impression?
Well, the first impression was good. I mean, I rode him in what we call our indoor arena, which there was a lot going on at the time, and usually is, lots of horses going everywhere, and he took it all in and looked at everything and handled himself really well. And so my first impression was that, he was a really calm, cool gentleman that wanted to work and wanted to try something new.
So how were you two originally introduced? Have you known each other for a long time? You're both kind of up in the same area. Is it just through big names kind of thing?
I mean, obviously, we're in the same area, so that was part of it. You go ahead, Phyllis.
No, I mean, I think, you know, obviously, I heard so much about Graham, but then through a mutual friend, we got to know each other a bit more and had a lot in common, and it was sort of branched out on a, you know, semi-business partnership as well, and, you know, it's been incredible for Evie and I to sort of work with Graham and Anita and, you know, get to know what they do a little bit more, and, you know, and obviously Ichabod Crane, and we all have the same goals in that we believe, really believe, and owe a lot of our careers to the American thoroughbred, you know, obviously in different ways, and I've ridden lots of American thoroughbreds in my sport and to the Olympic Games a couple of times, and so, you know, it's certainly an area that, you know, is becoming, a lot of people are paying a lot more attention to it now, what happens to the horses after they race, and it's sort of neat for us to be able to show a horse that actually spent years and years racing and was very, very good at it, and see what he can do attempting another sport. And you know, it's not an easy ask either, because you know, if in human terms, it'd be like you know, a great runner trying to become, you know, a really top class tennis player or baseball player or whatever. And it's very rarely that done to try to get to the highest level in two sports. And so what the little guy's trying to do is, it's pretty remarkable, and he's off to a great start with it.
Well, and we'll definitely get to that, but what do you think, Philip, backing up, what sort of traits do you look for in an off-the-track thoroughbred to become a successful eventer?
Right, well, obviously, it's...
By the way.
Sorry?
I said, I'm taking notes, by the way.
Right. Well, I mean, sort of look for maybe what you might call a more an old style of thoroughbred horse, so a big-boned, raw-boned, you know, what we call a nice, big, moving horse, so a horse that when he trots, he covers the ground and spends time in the air when he moves, and the disposition is one of the keys, and that is, you know, that they can accept training and riding on a daily basis, and you know, it's obviously such a different life for the horse. There's so much emphasis in the race of it galloping, and what we teach them is, you know, completely different, and so they have to spend a lot more time with the rider every day, and it takes a long time to teach a horse, so you know, we're talking years and years, and so having a horse that can handle that kind of training mentally is probably the key, and obviously a horse that naturally can jump, and you know, there's a lot goes into picking the horse, but you know, I would say that his attitude to the new job is probably the most important.
And do you find, Philip, Grandma, I'll get to you in just a second, sorry, as Ichabod raced until he was six, do you find that it's harder to transition the kind of older thoroughbreds into a new career? And do you have any advice for those of us who might be dealing with one of those challenges in my backyard, our backyard right now?
Right. Well, I think every horse is an individual, and I think a lot of the way that Ichabod's disposition is a credit to Graham and how he's handled the horse. And so he hasn't, you know, what you call fried his brain. And so, you know, I think every horse is different in where they've raced and how many times they've raced. And, you know, ideally, I guess, from my point of view, the less racing is probably better. You know, they've got less wear and tear on them and you know, not maybe set in their ways. But having said that, I don't think it's affected Ichabod one little bit, you know, racing for 4 or 5 years. I think, as far as from my point of view anyway, he's transitioned beautifully.
And, Graham, what do you think, I almost feel like you're a little bit of a pioneer in keeping track of your
ex-racers and trying to make sure that they're going to places and having careers. What do you think was the kind of, why are you so different than the rest of the trainers? What, is it your wife that makes you keep track of all of them? I feel like there's not enough of that in the game. And I applaud you for it.
Well, I think we're seeing it more and more. I mean, I'd like to think there's a lot of us out there now that are really keeping our eyes on the horses after they leave us. And I think Philip touched on it. You know, these thoroughbreds, they give us so much, and I think this is just an opportunity for us to give them something back, and it's something that my wife and I feel very strongly about. And Sue, in my front office, you know, she's been very, she's been a big part of placing horses in the area. You know, fortunately, we're in an area where it's not hard to place horses, whether it's fox hunting or showing or just, you know, taking for trail rides. It's very easy to find homes for horses around here, and it's something we believe in, and, you know, we try to keep track on some of the horses that we lose in claim races. It's very hard to keep track on all of them, but we put a sticker on the passports or the papers for all our horses so that, you know, people can get in touch with us if they find one of our horses in an awkward situation. So it certainly is something we feel strongly about, but I think it's something that the industry as a whole is much more aware of nowadays.
Wow, that's awesome. So you put a sticker just on the papers from wherever they go, they can always kind of make their way back to you. I know that you have a, like, Racing Warriors page on your website, and tell us about some of the other second careers your retirees have.
Yeah, I mean, there's several of them, and it's hard for me to remember all of them. We had a nice horse called Better Than Bonds, who's actually his owner, recently passed away, but he was one of our favorite horses, and he went on to, you know, a decent show jumping career, and I think there's been several of them that have done similar things. But it's not even so much the ones that go on to the bright lights as perhaps the ones that have become, you know, really fun hunters for families to have and to get a lot of pleasure out and for the horses to get pleasure out of.
Wow. I mean, I just love that you do that, and you're making it the norm to keep track of these guys and to find them different careers. So, Philip, back to Ichabod, what do you see for him in the future? I know you've done some beginner novice, and you're thinking of taking him. Have you done a novice with him yet?
Yeah, so he's done two novices now, so he's moved up one level, and I would anticipate that he'll be ready to move up another level by the end of the year. You know, he's a pretty quick study in our terms. I mean, in racing terms, you know, it probably seems very slow, but he's really taken to it, and I certainly do not want to push him past what he's ready to do, but I think that he'll be more than ready for the next level by, you know, I would say, you know, September, something like that.
See, I feel especially, I don't know if it's just out here on the West Coast, but I feel like a lot of people get these horses, and I don't know how they do it, but they really rush them up through the levels. Like, I took lessons with somebody that didn't believe in ever going beginner novice, and I really think that level was put into eventing for a reason, and I appreciate that you are taking your time with him. Not that my opinion matters, but I really do. I think it's great what you're doing. Philip, how many of your horses in your barn would you say are off the track thoroughbreds?
Not as many as before. I mean, certainly with the value of event horses now, there's a big push for what, you know, you might call sport horse breeding, and so. But I would say probably 25% of mine are, you know, 20 to 25% of the thoroughbreds off the track. And, you know, we're certainly, you know, I think it's fair to say if you do get the best thoroughbred, the right type of thoroughbred, you know, you've got a partner that's going to be pretty special and try really hard for you. So we're always on the lookout. I mean, it's just, it's, you know, it is a special horse that we need, certainly for the upper levels of eventing. So just they're hard to find, not just as event as thoroughbreds, but any kind of horse, they're hard to find. You know?
Right. Now, on a personal note, Graham and Philip, I'll ask Graham this first. What is your favorite horse that you've ever worked with? Was it Animal Kingdom?
You know, it's so hard because the horses like Animal Kingdom and Better Talk Now, you know, they did so much for my career professionally, and you know, they were also horses that you become very attached to for that reason. So, but the horses like Ichabod Crane, I mean, he was a hard-knocking horse himself, and you know, the reason that we really felt he'd do well with Philip was because of his nature and his disposition, and he was always sort of a barn favorite for everybody, and we just felt that he'd be a really good fit. We have a filly right now called Inimitable Romani, who's really stepped up this year and won several graded stakes, and I'm hoping she could be a Breeders' Cup type horse, and she has a very similar disposition, just a very kind, easy horse to have around, and she's now a six-year-old, so obviously the longer you have them around, certainly the more you become attached to them.
Well, you certainly know your way around the Breeders' Cup wins, especially the Filly and Mare Turf. In 2010, you took that one. So you're the guy to go to for that. Philip, this must be a tough question for you, but who do you think is your favorite horse?
Yeah, actually, it's not a tough question. So I flew over this country with a horse called True Blue Girdwood, who was an Australian thoroughbred, but he was by a American sire called Loosen Up, and he took me to my first Olympics, and you know, I would think if he didn't come around, I'm not sure my career would be where I got to today. So without doubt, he was with me when I didn't have any other horses, and so he sort of started me down this road. So that one stands out to me.
Yeah, heard of him.
well, Graham, one final question. We'll let you guys go. How, you know, the excitement, we did this whole entire show about the Triple Crown and about California Chrome. How, is it really important for racing that we get this win this weekend? Just the excitement around this horse has been more than we've seen it in recent years, certainly.
I mean, I think it's an extraordinary amount of pressure on the horse and the connections. I think just the fact the attention it's brought in the last 3 weeks is great for the game. You know, unfortunately, it's going to be really tough for him to win this race, and I'll be rooting for him as much as anybody, but there's a reason that it hasn't been done for a long time, and there's a couple of really nice, fresh horses coming in here on Saturday that are going to make it hard for him. But I think just the attention he's brought in the last few weeks is good for the game. I'm not sure that it's going to be the big cure-all that racing sort of believes it might be if he does win the Triple Crown, but obviously it'll be a big shot in the arm.
Oh, my gosh, I can't believe the coverage. It's like every day I log onto the Blood Horse or Facebook, and it's like, California Chrome gets a bath. California Chrome goes and eats grass. I'm like, I can't imagine the amount of pressure, like paparazzi surrounding you all the time all of a sudden. Graham, I'm sure you dealt with quite a bit of that with Animal Kingdom. Does that detract from the whole thing, or does it pump you up a little bit?
I tell you, it's tough. I mean, I can't imagine what these guys are doing with this. For me, just the 2 weeks between the Derby and the Preakness was almost overwhelming. I felt very strongly about trying to do everything I could because I think it's the one time where racing really gets the attention, and you kind of need to, we need to take advantage of that, if you like. So I tried to do everything I could as far as the media requests and what have you, and I think these guys have done an amazing job, and I really can't imagine how they've kept up with it, to be honest. It's a lot.
Philip, is your money on California Chrome?
Yeah, I hope so. It's like everybody, I've followed it, and I think it's such a neat story, just the way that these guys have come into it, and you know, basically got this horse that you would think any expert would have told you would be running and claiming races, and they've come through, and they seem like real characters as well. So.
And who doesn't want to see a bunch of dumbasses win a Triple Crown?
So great.
Well, we're going to let you guys go. Philip, give everybody your website, and then Graham, you can too, just to let everybody know where to find out more. Philip, it is a dream of mine to ride in a clinic with you, so get out here to Phoenix as soon as possible, okay?
Yeah, I was just at Fresno in California, actually on the weekend. So, yeah.
18-hour drive, no big deal, I'll do it.
All right, yeah.
Philip, what's your website?
Just philipdutton.com.
See, there you go. And then Graham?
The same, grahammotion.com or herringswellstables.com.
There we go. We'll go ahead and put a link to those up on our Facebook page so everybody can just click to it and see the interesting stuff and the great pictures and stories. And you guys, I can't thank you enough for what you're doing for Ichabod and for racing and off-the-track thoroughbreds. You guys are, I'm so glad you're working together. You're pioneers.
Well, there you have it, everybody. You can find links to today's guests at horsesinthemorning.com. You can follow us on Facebook at Horses in the Morning. We'll be back again tomorrow with keen ice trainer Jerry Crawford, a listener highlight, and of course, really bad ads.